We begin the current daf in Sefer Chagiga, daf Chav. We begin 12 lines down from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous two dafim. And that is, we had been differentiating between the levels of Tahara and Tumah of different types of people. And that is, what might be Tahara for one person or one object can then be considered Tumah for something that has a higher level, a standard, Perushim or Meiser. There's different levels of objects and people, and that's why our Gemara continues on that theme. So I remember Yonasid ben Elazar, he says, Nafla ma'afarta himenu. If let's say somebody's kerchief falls off from him and falls onto the ground. So Amalacha Veiroi Tunoli Vinosnoli. So he tells his friend, please give it to me. He gives it to him. So Rabbi Yonasid ben Elazar says, Tameya. The kerchief became Tameh. And that's even if both of these individuals are Tahar. Now later on the Gemara will explain the reasoning for this is that ultimately a person does not consider established safeguarding what's in his friend's hand, meaning he doesn't watch what's in his friend's hand, and his friend's not watching what his friend tells him to pick up. Now, therefore, since he's not watching what's in his friend's hand, and the one who was given to him is not concerned about watching it either, because he says, look, he told me to pick it up. He doesn't know if I'm Tame or Tar, so even though I am Tar, but he's not concerned about that. Therefore, ultimately, the problem here is what's called Hesach Hadas, which means to say that nobody is watching it. He's not watching it because his friend's holding it, and the friend who picked it up is not watching it either because he says he doesn't care. I'm not either being careful about it because he's not interested if I'm Tahor or Tameh either. Now, those who are stringent regarding Tahiris, for them the halacha is that Hesach Hadas creates a level of Tumah. And that's because those interpretations hold that if there's no one watching it, then it gives it an actual status of Tumah. There's an interpretation of saying Hesach Hadas is that there's a doubtful. And then there's the interpretation that, no, just by the fact that it's not being safeguarded, gives it a status of Tumah. And therefore, Rabbi Yonasid ben Elazar says, by the virtue of telling your friend to pick it up, even if it turns out he was Tahar, but the fact that at one point there was nobody having Das on it to safeguard it, him because it was in his friend's hand, and him because he said he didn't ask me if I'm Tahar, therefore neither one of them is watching him, therefore it's going to be Tameh. A similar type of halacha. Amar Rabbi Yonasid ben Amram, Nischafu loy kelim shel Shabbos bekelim shel chayil ulevayshon. Somebody mixed up his Shabbos clothing with his weekday clothing. What that means is that he really wanted to put on his weekday clothing, and turns out, maybe it was in a dark room, he comes out, and he's wearing his Shabbos clothing. So Rabbi Yonasid ben Amram says, Nitmu. His Shabbos clothing now become Tameh. Now, the Gemara's original assumption is, in this halacha, is that he holds that if somebody is safeguarding something, meaning he's a tahor person, he wants to make sure his clothing stays tahor, but it's based on the assumption that it's what he thought it was. Comes out, it's something else. So essentially, you weren't watching what you thought you were watching, hence you weren't really watching, weren't really safeguarding. And that's why Rabbi Yonasid ben Amram says it's going to be tameh. Again, based on the same principle as Rabbi Yonasid ben Elazar, who said that if you're not having das on something, there's hesach das, a removal of intentional safeguarding, then it's going to be tameh. A third similar halacha. Amram Blazer Bar Tzadik says, Ma'isa b'shtei noshim chaveris. There was an incident with two women who were friends, shenasrafu lehen kelim beis hamerchatz, that their clothing got mixed up in the bathhouse. Oba ma'isa lefnei Rebbe Akiva v'timon. Now the story came in front of Rebbe Akiva. Now each one was one that was careful in their own tahiris, but by mistake, each one put on the other one's clothing. Rebbe Akiva said, "V'timon." Rebbe Akiva said that it's going to be tameh. Again, based on the same principle, where obviously you weren't safeguarding well enough if you by mistake put on the other one's clothing. So again, all three halachas have a similar common denominator of hesach hadas. If you weren't exacting, although you were watching what you were wearing, but you weren't totally aware, therefore it's going to be considered tameh. Now, in that maskevel Rebbe Yishai, Rebbe Yishai asked the following question, which is going on these three interpretations. He said as follows. He says, Ilmiyata, if it's like it is, as these three halachas are saying, that one has to know exactly what he's doing, and if you make an error, that means to say that you weren't totally having das, and you didn't totally safeguard it, hence it's considered hesach das, and we give it a status of tumah. Well then, regarding the following case, Hoshid yodi lasal litl paschid. Let's say somebody sticks his hand into a basket because he wants to take out a piece of wheat bread. Also be yodi pasarim, and what ends up coming out is barley bread. So hachi nami de nitmes, are you going to tell me such a case that the barley bread becomes tameh because what you weren't intentional, you didn't fulfill what you had intended to do, therefore that means that you weren't exacting. So what you're touching is not with your das, hence it's a hesach das, so it's tameh. Now, so he says, v'chitema hachi nami, it's Rabbi Yishai, and if you're going to entertain that actually you'll say that that bread will become tameh, But we're telling Litton Abraisa, it says as follows. Hamishamar es achavis becheskat shol yain. If someone is safeguarding a barrel, thinking that it's wine, v'nimtza shol shem, and it turns out he was watching a barrel which was filled with oil. So that the Braisa says, tahir milatame, that it's pure from transmitting tumma, means to say that it's not considered tame, that it will be matame other things. And therefore you see that although his intention was he thought it was wine, and really it turns out it was oil, is not a problem. So how can each one of you say that your individual cases will be considered hesgadas because there was a slight deviation of what he thought it was? Now, the Gemara responds to that. If you're basing on this braisa to ask the question by showing that it doesn't have to be exacting, but the end of that braisa says, but vasur milechel, but it's forbidden to consume the item, meaning the oil of that barrel. Amai, why would it be forbidden? Actually, that would sound like these three halachas, because, oh, you thought it was wine. It really was oil. And that's why it's forbidden to eat. So in that, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, no. This that they're asking back on Rabbi Yishya, that, oh, look at the sefer, it says you're not allowed to eat it, that doesn't support those three halachas. And it wouldn't contradict what Rabbi Yishya is asking from. Because the case of that Bryce is talking about, Ba'imir, when the person says, Shmartiya midover hametama, that I said I'm safeguarding it from something that will transmit tumma to this barrel, v'loy midover hapoisla, but he was never intending to safeguard it at all, even under the guise that he thought that it was wine, he was never safeguarding it from something that will invalidate it. And that's why it makes a sense that you cannot consume the contents, because to become pusil, which means to say that this is the end of it, that it will be the last level tumma, that it cannot transmit it further, that he wasn't safeguarding it from. He was only safeguarding, and therefore the objects that become tame will become pusil. They will become invalid. However, regarding something that will then invalidate something else, which is the difference in terms between pusil and tame means it could then transmit something tumma to something else. For example, a rishon can make something a sheni. However, let's say if it's chulin, they cannot make it into a shlishi. So pusil, he wasn't watching it, meaning the object itself, the wine, yes, or oil, what that ended up turning out to be, you cannot consume because he wasn't even watching that. However, regarding something that to transmit to him to something else, that he was watching it. And therefore, regarding something that he was watching it, we see that his shmira is a good shmira. And that's why we said it will be tahir milatami. It will not continue the transmission of tumma, even though it turns out it wasn't what he thought it was. And therefore, the question is a good question that Rabbi Yishai is asking. You see that the barrel that he thought was wine, which ended up being oil, will not be considered tameh to transmit tumma further. Now, although you're asking, oh, so then why can't I consume the oil? That's because he wasn't even watching that. Even if it would have turned out to be wine, it would still be pusil, because he said that, let's say this was chulin. So what will make chulin tameh is if, let's say, av hatumma will touch it, will make it into rishon, that will make it tameh to make something else a sheni, because that's until where chulin goes. But if something, a rishon touching it, which makes it into ontin sheni, that means it becomes pasul, it becomes valid, but it will not have the status of tumma to transmit it further. So yes, the contents will be pasul, but it will not be considered tumay, which to transmit it further, because that's what he's watching it, even though it turns out it wasn't what he thought it was. And that's difficult, according to those three interpretations, that said that if there is this deviation of what he thought it was, it's not considered that you had a shmira, and it is considered hesagadas to make it tumay. Now, however, the Gemara asks on this interpretation of Reb Oishya, who, the way he's defining the case of the Braisa, that it's a difficulty on those three halachas, he says that the person said, that as Reb Yirmiyah had answered, that I'm watching it, that it shouldn't become tame, again, which that means it could then transmit the tumma to something else, but I'm not watching it for becoming invalid, a psul. It could become psul. Now, the Gemara asks, Umiyaka nitirus lapalga, is there such a thing, such a concept, that people watch halfways, meaning you're watching it that it shouldn't become tame, but that you're watching it that it shouldn't become tame, but you're not watching it for it to become pasul. Such a thing? So the answer is, in yes, but Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa says, how should yodli besal? If somebody sticks his hand into a basket of figs, now v'hasal kaseifa, the basket's on his shoulder. V'hamagrefa, magrefa is a utensil made out of iron that would be used for many different utilities. One would be that they would shovel out the ashes of the oven with it, but it was also used to separate, because figs become very sticky and they make these types of cakes, that would be used to separate the figs each from each other. So you have this shovel type that separates the figs inside the b'toichasal, it's also in the basket. Now, v'hayibaliboy al asal, his intention when he was safeguarding the basket was only on the basket. V'hayibaliboy al magreva, now he didn't have any intentions of safeguarding from tumma, the shovel itself. Now that the Braisa says, Hasal Tahar, the basket's Tahar, Lamagrifa Tameya. And yet, but the shovel's gonna be Tameh. So you see that there is such a concept of Nitirus Lapalga, that although there is this one bundle on your shoulder, but halfways I wanted and halfways I didn't. I decide I'm gonna watch the basket, so the basket's Tahar, but I didn't want to watch and be busy, preoccupied, making sure the shovel doesn't become Tameh, and therefore that will be Tameh. Now, however, the Gemara asks on that case, Hasal Tahar? How could the basket be tar in that case? But titame hamagrif losal, the shovel should make the basket tame. Because if the shovel's tame and it's touching the basket, so the basket should be tame. So I think my answer is, in classic understanding of Hilchos Taira, is that in kli mitame kli, a utensil cannot make another utensil generally tame, and therefore it doesn't make a difference that that's tame, that could still remain tahar. However, the Gemara still asks, but with tame mashabisal, but it should make tame what's inside the basket. In this case, it means to say regarding the figs. The figs should become tummy because machalim, oichel, food could become tummy from a kli. And therefore, you're right, the basket's tar, but the shovel should make the figs tummy. So Ravina says, Ba'imer shemartiv midover shemitame. It's talking about a case where he says that I am going to be watching the shovel from something that makes it tummy. Again, remember the term tummy means that it becomes tummy with the ability to make something else tummy. So that he was watching the shovel, that it shouldn't become that tummy, meaning that it could transmit it further. Hence, the figs will not become tummy because the shovel, even if it's becoming puzzle, but it's not becoming tummy and it cannot transmit it to the figs because that he was making sure it's not. But he was not watching it for something that could invalidate it, meaning to make it tummy but not to transmit it further. And that would mean, for example, that he could not go ahead and use it like a tchila for tyrus, or would mean that the food that is stuck to the shovel, that would become possible to consume. However, again, but if the shovel itself is touching tyrus, meaning in this case the figs, it will not become possible. But one thing that we see, like the Gemara is concluding, is that nitirusa is lapalga. You could watch something halfway, and therefore the brisa that Rabbi Yishai had brought to ask from is resolved, makes sense, and therefore, as the Gemara concludes, become makom kasha. Therefore, it's a difficulty according to those three interpretations, because the Braisa says that if you were watching it under the assumption that it's one thing, you thought it was a barrel of wine, turns out you're wrong, it was a barrel of oil, and yet still the Braisa says, tahir milatame, it will be tar, it will not be able to transmit tumah to something else. Again, not like those three different halachas that we open up this daf with, that they said that if you thought it was one thing, you thought it was your weekday clothing, turns out, or Shabbos, and turns out it's a weekday, and all the halachas, and you thought it was your clothing, turns out it's your friend's clothing, that it's going to be tameh, but that seems to be contradicted from this price everybody she's bringing with the barrel of wine that turns out it's a barrel of oil. Another question that the Gemara asks is from the following Tesefta. The Braisa says, Maisa b'isha achas shabos l'nei Rabbi Shmuel. There was an incident with a woman that came in front of Rabbi Shmuel. V'amalein, she said to him, Rabbi, my teacher, beged ze araktiv b'tahara. This garment, I wove it with purity. And that mean what she was telling him was that I know from the time that it was woven by the measurement of 3x3 finger breadths, which is the minimum measurement for something to be considered a cloth to be mekabel tumah, no tumah came in contact with it. However, she told them, but you know what? I did not have the focus, the intention to safeguard it b'tahara. So the question that she had was, I know that you have to safeguard it, but I know that nothing came in contact of tumah with it. So the Braisa says, "Metech b'dika shayir Rabbi Shmuel baitka." Along the lines of questioning that Rabbi Shmuel was asking her, and the problem was because since she didn't have specific intentionality to watch it, then maybe something did happen and you weren't careful. So he kept on asking questions. So in the line of questioning, Amrle, she said to him, "Rabbi, my teacher, Nida mashcha imi b'chabla," and that is because she didn't realize, and that's why he was asking questions to get her to understand maybe there was something that happened because she wasn't focused intentionally. She says that there was a menstruating woman who transmits tumah that was drawing with me the string, meaning she tied the string in the utensils that are used in the weaving, and therefore maybe she leaned on it, and there's a tumas of hesed that happens with a woman that's a nida. Awesome. Rabbi Shmuel said, "Kama gedolim divrichacham." How great are the words of the sages? Shahoyu oimim, because they said, as a qualifying rule, "Beliber lishamir tahar." If someone had in his heart an intention to safeguard it, then it's tahar. But if you didn't have intention to safeguard, even though it didn't, nothing came in contact with tumah with it, then it will be tumah. Again, as we find in this case where she said, I know nothing happened to it. But since it wasn't with intentionality, and therefore it ended up coming out that there was a very likely probability of tumah from the need of the woman that had helped her out, which she would not have noticed, only with Rabbi Shmuel's help. And that's why I said how great are the words of the sages who said, you didn't have beliba l'shamra, it's going to be considered tumah. Similarly, Shuv Ma'is Bisha Achas Shabbos of Rabbi Shmuel. There was another story where a woman that came in front of Rabbi Shmuel, Vramalai, and she said to him, Rebbe, my teacher, Ma Pazu Araktiha Betara. This cloth, I wove it in purity. But, Valohi Beliba L'Shamra, but I didn't have it in my heart to safeguard it in the state of Tara. Now, again, Amitech Bedika Shay Rabbi Shmuel Baitka. So, with the line of questioning, Rabbi Shmuel asked her, so Amrulai, she said to him, oh, Rebbe, my teacher, Nima Nifsikali, there was a thread that tore. And this was, however, before I had woven anything. So at that point, there's no problem of tumah tahara because it's not makabel tumah. It's not, wasn't even woven yet. But ukashartia bepeh, I went and then I knotted it with my mouth. Now, this was, again, as we said before, was woven whatsoever, where there's no, it's not even susceptible to tumah. But I wasn't careful then because I wasn't, obviously there's no tumah then. And then I had not even immersed myself for my menstruation. Now, therefore, however, there is a concern that maybe when it was finally woven a measurement of 3 finger breadths, maybe the spittle from her mouth that she used to knot it was still moist. Now, the spittle of a woman that's menstruating is considered an avad tumah. And maybe when it was already, as we said, a garment, it had her spit, and then it's vulnerable, it's susceptible to tumah, and maybe that spit was still wet to transmit the tumah. And therefore, Amr Rabbi Shmuel, he says, oh, kama gedilm devachacham, how great are the words of the sages, that because they said, beliba l'shamri tar. If a person had intention to safeguard it, then it's pure. And beliba l'shamri tami, but if one did not have intention, then it's tami, as we find in this case, where although she thought there was no tumah that touched it, once it was susceptible to tumah. But since it wasn't beliba l'shamra, we see that there was a very likelihood that it was tummy because of the spit that she had used to knot the string before it was made into the cloth, and it could have still been wet, and therefore could have been mekabel tumah. Now, but one thing that the Gemara uses from this to ask, which is the second question the Gemara is having on these 3 halachas, is that we see that if beliba l'shamra tar, if someone just had the intentionality to safeguard its tar, which what that means is, as Rashi explains, is that the primary thing is that, did you have intention to watch it? Then it's tahar. Which means to say, even if it turns out to be something else, which is not like those 3 halachas that said, that if there's any deviation from exactly what you thought it was, it's going to be tahar. And yet here we see that as long as you had intention, it's going to be tahar. So why are those 3 halachas saying that's tahar? So now the Gemara goes to resolve these 3 different halachas from the 2 questions we asked. So the Gemara says, Bishlam l'Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, according to his halacha that he spoke about the 2 women in the bathhouse that we said that each one's going to be tameh. Well, that's because kol achas v'achas emeres, each one of the women is saying, you know, chaverti esha sama aretz, my friend, she's a woman in ignoramus. Umaschadaitimina, and therefore she's masich da, she totally leaves go of safeguarding. There's not even a shemeres beliba. She's not even safeguarding at all. It's not just that there was a deviation. It's because she totally gave up. She goes, oh my gosh, if she's wearing my clothing, for sure it's going to be tameh. And therefore, that's why it's considered a full-fledged hesach hadas to be considered tumah. Moreover, Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram Nami, according to him also, who he was told about the case that when someone mixed up his Shabbos clothing and his weekday clothing. So the reason there is because kiven the kelim the Shabbos over lehu shimer tveis, since generally people give a higher standard of tahara for their Shabbos clothing. And now this person, the problem was, is that he thought this was his weekday clothing. And therefore, from the moment that he noticed that this was a mix-up between his Shabbos clothing and his weekday clothing, since he thought it was weekday, so he gave it a lower standard than what he usually gives it. That, as Rashi explains, is considered like ein beliba l'shamra, as if he didn't have intentionality to safeguard it. You're right, it doesn't have to be exactly, as long as you have intentionality. But here, since you thought it was your weekly clothing, turns out it's really your Shabbos, so your Shabbos clothing, the standard that it usually gets, it's not getting at all because you didn't have intention for Shabbos clothing, again, will be considered like a full-fledged hesach hadas. However, Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar, who he was the case that talked about when if someone has his kerchief that falls down on the ground, and then he tells his friend, please give it to me. So he said that it's going to be considered tumah, but never lehu shimer b'yodei dechavri. Why? Well, let him say, let the guy who dropped it, and he's asking his friend to pick it up for him, say, be safeguarding it when his friend's picking it up. So what's the problem with the fact that his friend picked it up? We saw, as long as you have Shmir Baliba, you want it to be safeguarded, you're looking at it, that should be enough. Why is that case considered Tame? So Rabbi Yechanan, as we had already mentioned from Rashi before, he says, Chazaka in Odem Meshama Mashi Biat Chaber. There's an assumption that a person does not safeguard what his friend's holding. His friend's holding it, so he's giving the responsibility to his friend, but he's not going to be safeguarding it, and therefore it's not. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, but is that really true that because someone else picked it up, that means to say that I'm not going to watch it anymore, and therefore I don't have Shmir on it, and therefore it's going to be considered Tame? But we continue on Tamed Beis, where the Gemara says, Babatanya, learn the Brisa, says, Harisha, hoyu chamor of a poyalav. If someone's donkey drivers and his workers who were ignoramuses, if they were tu'unin taharis, if they were loaded up with his taharis, for example, if he had wine in barrels of earthenware, now they're not touching the inside of the barrels, and the fact that they're touching the outer parts of the earthenware barrels is not a problem because kli charis does not contract tumah from the outside, only from the inside. Now that the Braisa says, so afa pisha hiflig mehen yesim mil, even if there's a great distance between the owner who's worried about his taharis and these amaratzim where we consider all their touching as being metamit, so even though there's a large distance between the two of them, taharoisav taharis, so his taharis are still considered in the status of tahara, and we're not considered that maybe they touched the inside of it to be metamit. And the reason is, because since he didn't tell them that he's going to have this distance between them, so every moment they think he's going to come, they just didn't realize how he fell behind. Now, therefore, what we see is that a person does safeguard what's in his friend's hand. Because that's the case that we're talking about. We have the owner, who he's the one that's making sure it stays tar. The amaratzim, the workers, they couldn't care less about it, tahiris. And therefore, however, we see that it's still going to be considered tar. So you see that even though it's in someone else's hand, you could still make sure that it stays tar. Now the Braisa concludes, v'mam lehem, but if he tells them, l'chu, you go, v'ani'al ve'acharechem, and I'm going to come already after you, so then kibin sh'nisalma inna mehen, once they can't see him anymore, then Tarek of Timaeus, then already is considered Tame because they're like, oh, okay, he's not around, we can go ahead and do whatever we want, we can start drinking from the wine, and then they're going to be metamit. But the Gemara's question is, Maishna Rishna, Maishna Seifa. Now Rashi says not to be Gerus, this because what's the Gemara? The question is not about the difference between the Rishna and the Seifa, it's the question that we're asking is that we see that there could be Shmira Biyad Chaveroi. But Rashi says, if you are Gerus, these words in the Gemara, then essentially what the Gemara's question is that if you would entertain, as the Gemara had been saying, that a person cannot safeguard what's in his friend's hands, then why would there be a difference between the Resha and the Seifa? In other words, what's the Pshat in the Resha? Why does the Resha say that Taharos of Taharos, why they Tahar, if it's Biyat Chaveri and it's not in his own hand? If you tell me, even just to tell your friend to pick it up, it's already Tame. So why over here, when he's very far away from them? And yet still, because they're not going to touch it, because they're afraid, but still it's Biyat Chaveri, and his Shmir will work for that. So Amr Bitzchak Nafchi says, truth is as we had said before, which was the first of the three halachas, that a person does not safeguard what's in his friend's hand. Now, the person who picked it up, in that case of the mafiris of the kerchief, he's also not watching it, because you didn't ask me if I'm Torah or Tameh, so I'm not watching it, and you're not watching it, so this Hesach Adas and becomes Tameh. Now, however, regarding this Braisa, where it seems like that it will work in his worker's hands, is because the Reisha that says that you don't need to have Shimur, and the reason is because even if they would touch it, it still wouldn't bother us. Why not? These are Amaratzim. These are workers who, whatever they touch, their tummy. And the reason is because we're talking about a case of Mitar Chamar V'Poyel L'Bekach, where he went and he put him into the mikveh. He was Mitar. He purified his donkey drivers and his workers for this and for this purpose. And therefore, that's why they're going to be Tar, because they're not Tame anymore. They're Tar. Now, the Gemara asks, Ihach, if that's the case, well, then Seifa Nami. Then why don't you say the same thing by the Seifa? Why, if he says, oh, you guys go ahead, I'm going to come ready. So they're like, hey, the boss is around, we're going to start drinking. So who cares? They're Tar. Why is it Tame in such a case? On that, the Gemara says, there it's different. Because in Amal, or it's Makbid al Mage Chavera. An ignoramus is not particular about if his friend, who he sees on the road, touches it also. Say, hey, you want a drink? Come here, the boss is not around, you'll get a drink too. And therefore, we're concerned not about the workers, because they're tar, but about their friends. That the Gemara asks, Ihachi Reisha Nami. So then say the same thing about the Reisha also, the first case, where even though he didn't tell them, you guys go ahead, they don't realize how far behind he is, but we should be concerned that maybe they'll let their friend touch it also. Now the Gemara says, no, they were not concerned about that, because Bebolahem Derech Akolosin, And that is because since he could come from a roundabout way suddenly, and they won't realize it, and therefore they're afraid because maybe the boss is going to come at any time, therefore they wouldn't do that, they wouldn't let anyone else touch it, and therefore, since we're not concerned about their touching it because they're tahar, so although we don't need to have shmir biat chaver because they're actually watching it, they're actually tahar, there's no problem of tumah, and therefore, although there's no shmir biat chaver, here it's going to remain tahar. And here there's no concern about the friend coming over because they're afraid that the boss might come at any time because he didn't tell them, oh, you guys go ahead. So why don't you say the same thing also? That maybe they should be afraid that he might suddenly come upon them and they're letting their friends touch it. The Gemara says, no, kiven da amalahu l'chuva and the ava achareichem, since he says, you guys go ahead and I'll already come, so mismach samchad, I tell you, they rely on the fact to say, okay, you know, we got a long break over here, he's not coming back anytime soon. And that's why it's going to be considered tamei, because we're concerned that their friends who are tamei will go ahead and touch it again. But biyat chaveira, the halacha is, as the first of three halachas, that there's never going to be halacha of shmira in someone else's hand. It's just over here that they themselves are tar, and therefore they're the ones that safeguarding. And therefore that's the conclusion of the Gemara regarding these three halachas, that of course that it doesn't have to be exactly as it was, but the difference is that those three cases, we consider it as if there's no shmira whatsoever, and if there's no shmira whatsoever, not just a deviation, then it's considered hesachadast, which will then give it a halacha of tumah. Hanulach in Darshan, we shall return to you the second parak of Masechet Chagiga, parak in Darshan, and with that we begin the third parak, parak Chaymer BaKodesh. Now Chaymer BaKodesh, this parak is a continuation of the theme of the previous Mishnah, which was talking about, as we had said, we're going to be moving along the halachas of tumah tahara, because one of the areas is going to be related to Masechet Chagiga and Afchavav, which talks about Amaratzim, although that they generally transmit Tumah during the rest of the year, but on Ayamtiv, which is a theme of what we're talking about in the Chagiga, their halacha will change and have a status of Tahara if they touch something. So the Mishnah says that Chaymer BaKodesh MiBetrumah. There is a stringency, and similar to the theme of the previous Mishnah, which spoke about discrepancies between different items, let's say Chulin and Meiser and Truma and Kodesh and Chatos. So now the Mishnah delineates 11 differences that there's a stringency of kachim, which are karbanis, over truma, which is what the kohen gets, a 50th of the produce. Number one, shemat bilin kelim b'toch kelim, that one is allowed to immerse, when you're putting it into the mikvah, one utensil in another utensil, which both of them are tameh, and you're immersing them both in the mikvah, lit truma, only in the halacha of truma, to purify it for truma purposes, avoloi l'kodesh, but not for kodesh purposes, which the Gemara will explain the reason for that. Number two, if you have a utensil that's fit to be used in different, has different mechanisms to it, different parts to it, which it has acharayim, it has a back part, it has betoich, it has the inside, it has ubeis hatzvita, it has the place where you hold on to it. Now, each utility of this one utensil that's in it, it will have halachic status as its own utensil. That's only betruma. That's regarding truma. That means to say, if this part becomes tamei, the other part doesn't become tamei. Now, we're talking about tumas derabanan, as the Gemara will explain, because tumas deraisis, the whole thing becomes tamei. We're talking about rabbinic tumah. So we're going to consider each part as an individual component, hence only that part will become tamei. Avalei b'kodesh, however, that's not the case regarding kodesh, because regarding kachim, if one part becomes tamei, all of the object becomes tamei. A third difference. If someone's carrying something that has tumas medrash on it, for example, the shoe of a zav transmits tumah by somebody that he treads on, so his shoe becomes tumah. So if someone's carrying that, he still is noisias a truma. He's allowed to go ahead at the same time be carrying a barrel that's made out of earthenware, where he's not touching the inside, the airspace, where a barrel of earthenware, any kli cheres only becomes tumah from the inside. So he's allowed to be holding, if it's a barrel of truma, however, he cannot hold at the same time if he's holding that barrel of earthenware, although it's not makabel tumah from the outside, if it's from kachim, which Gemara will explain the reason for that. The fourth stringency is similar to the theme of the previous Mishnah, where bigdei oichlei truma, the garments of those kahanim who eat truma, they're considered medrash l'kodesh. Their garments are considered tameh, where we consider a severe tumah of avatumah, of like a zav who treads on something, for l'kodesh, for those that have the higher level of tahara, of kachim. A fifth difference. Like midas ha-kodesh, there's a differentiation in regarding kachim in the halacha of chatzitza by tefillah, and that is when you do an immersion, there can't be any interpositions. Nothing can be in the way. You can't have those stickers on the vessel. There can't be anything that gets in the way between the water and the object that's being immersed. So the difference of halacha of the measurements of chatzitza by hektish is different than midas ha-truma, different than how we work it by the measurements of truma, as the Mishnah explains. Sheba kodesh, because regarding kachim, that is, if let's say someone has a beged, a garment that's tummy, and he's coming to immerse it. So if it's knotted, and we're talking about it's regarding kachim purposes, so then mater, first he has to untie the knot, because that seems like a chatzitza, because that means to say that the water can get in where it's knotted. Then umenagiv, then if it's wet, he first dries it, and then umatlo, then he goes ahead and he immerses it. And then he goes and knots it. And that's because, again, as we said, because it seems like a chatzitza. However, with truma, regarding truma, if he wants to knot it, then actually, you could even knot it before you go ahead. Let's say it wasn't even knotted. You can knot it and immerse it. There's no problem by the fact that it's knotted. Chumra number six. Kalim hadigmarim b'tahara. Regarding vessels that were concluded in the status of tahara, meaning to say that the person was careful from when it came time of when the vessel was being finished and completed, which is when it becomes susceptible to tumah. So it was. We know that it was tar when it was ready to be susceptible to tumah. Still tzrichin tefillah l'kodesh. It still requires immersion for kodesh purposes, which the Gemara will explain the reason. Avloy l'truma, but not for truma, because truma doesn't require any special tefillahs. And it never became tumah from when it was completed. You don't have to immerse it. Stringency number seven. Hakli mitzarif masha b'toicha l'kodesh. The utensil goes and combines everything that's in it when it comes to regards to kachim. And that is, if let's say you have many pieces of food in one utensil. Now, if something tummy touches one of the pieces, so since they're all in one utensil, if we're talking about kachim items, it combines all of them to be like one piece, and therefore all of them come tummy. Avaloi the truma, but not regarding truma, rather regarding if there's truma pieces, and the tuma touches one of the pieces, so that becomes rishon. Now, the piece touching that piece becomes a sheni, its transmission, and the one that touches that one becomes a shlishi, but the rest are tar, because truma doesn't go past the shlishi, unlike kachim, where the whole thing will be considered like one object of tuma. Stringency number nine, that has of kachim over truma. Harevi b'kodesh pasal. Regarding kachim, it could continue along the line of transmission of tuma, going all the way to a revi, but it doesn't become more than that. It cannot become a chamishi. Vashlishi b'truma, but regarding truma, it only goes as far as a shlishi, and that is, let's say you have a truma that became a shlishi l'tuma. Again, the way tuma transmits, it keeps on getting lower and lower. That means less and less status of tuma, where the most severe is avi. Avi is a grandfather of tuma, that's the corpse himself. The one who touches the tamei mase, it becomes an ava tuma. So the utensil that he touches becomes a rishon l'tuma, and then it continues down. Sheni is the max that a chulin could become, then shlishi is the max truma could become, and then revi, even more severe, kachim, if kachim touches a shlishi l'tuma, it will become a revi, but truma only goes as far as a shlishi. Stringency number nine. Ubi truma, regarding truma, im nitmas achas meyadav. If one of his hands become tummy, now that could only be by rabbinic tuma, that only the hands become tummy, but not the body, because if you touch a biblical tuma, it doesn't make a difference where you touch it, your whole body becomes tummy. So you're talking about rabbinic tuma. So if only one of your hands become tummy, it's a chaver to tahira. The other hand is still considered tahar. However, b'kodesh matvolstein. But regarding kachim, you have to immerse both of them. Shahayad metames chaver to b'kodesh, because one's hand transmits tumas to his other ones. If it's regarding kachim, avalei b'truma, but that's not the case regarding truma. Stringency number 10. Oichlin oichlim neguvim. One could go ahead and eat dried foods, which means to say that it was always dried. It never became wet, since it's in a creation, and therefore was never susceptible to tumah, because a maichel, a food item, could only become susceptible to tumah if it comes in contact with desired liquid. So one could eat dried foods, be a daim misoyavos, with tumah hands, meaning that they're rabbinically tumah, it's a shnias, meaning generic hands, we consider if you didn't do netila, even though you don't know if you touched anything tumah, it's considered shein l'tumah. So you could eat it in the case of b'truma, regarding truma. And the reason is because since these foods never became susceptible to tumah. So even though if you are eating truma, which could become a shlishi, so your hands that are sheni could make the food into a shlishi, but it doesn't become invalid because it's not susceptible to tumah. However, that's not the case regarding kodesh, which the Gemara will explain the reason. L'chair, it shouldn't become tameh if it never became susceptible to tumah, but that's another stringency that has of kachim over truma. And we continue on top of chafal from an alv for the last stringency number 11. Ha'oinin, someone that's an oinin, which means that they're a close relative, let's say his parents, chas v'shalom, passed away, but he didn't become tummy. He didn't touch them. He didn't bury them. So although they got buried, but he didn't touch them. So he's not tummy, but he's still an oinin where that day his relatives passed away. Or umechusi kipurim, someone that's lacking atonement. For example, a zav, who in his purification process, he immerses himself in the mikvah on the seventh day that he counted clean days that he didn't have in the mission. Then he has Harav Shemesh sundown. And the following day, he's called Mechutzi Kippurim, that he's still lacking atonement because he still didn't complete his Torah process, which still relies on bringing his karbanis. So on that, the Mishnah tells us, Tzrichin Tfila L'Kodesh, you need immersion for Kachim, and that is even once you bring your karbanis. If you want to eat Kachim, you have to go ahead and immerse yourself, which Shigmo will explain the reasoning for that. Machara, you're totally Tahar, and why would you have to do an immersion? You already did one on day 7, and now you brought your karbanis, you're done. But you still need to have a tefillah, which Gemara will explain. Avaloi l'truma, but regarding truma, you don't have to. You could go ahead and eat truma once you're completely tahar, and you don't have to have a special tefillah. Those are the 11 stringencies of chaymer b'kadshim that has over truma.